Armored Bear Productions.
Welcome, everybody. You're listening to Out of Character, the Not Safe for Wizards Q&A talk show. Hey everybody, welcome to Out of Character. Tonight we'll be going over At the Camp, and I have Jade, who is played by Kayla, who plays Jade. I think I got it right. And
it's really the same person.
Celeste. Yes, they're pretty much the same person. And Dee, who plays Celeste, and what? Luna, kind of.
Kind of.
Kayla plays Luna.
Yeah.
Welcome, guys. Or gals, them. Hello. How are you both doing?
Human.
Doing okay.
Doing okay.
Players. People.
Yes.
Yeah.
So this was a fun episode because you both got to be kind of out their characters, which is just lovely to have. Right off the bat, I thought there were some great lines like fucking letterbugs coming out of Chase's mouth, and Joe mentioning shenanigan dice, which are some of my favorite things to do myself. Also, the great interaction of Celeste and Luna with Chase, and I think when we first talked, we talked about how was it going to keep on going with Luna? How was the bird going to go, and I think you did a great job of just making Chase look like he's crazy, and he set you up for it great.
I want to keep interacting with the bird, because as far as like Celeste is concerned, that's the only one that matters of the group.
You know what, I think that's a great idea. Just you know, one day you gotta just make sure that the bird's the only one that gets saved. Drop the rest of them into a volcano.
That's the plan.
Everybody dies, save the bird.
Exactly.
There's priorities. That's all there is to it. There are priorities, and bird's priority one. Who knows? Maybe it's a royal bird.
Long-term friend. People I met a week ago, maybe. Fuck them.
Totally
the bird.
Makes sense, man. It's the bird. The bird is part of you. And you know what? I get this feeling that as time goes on, the rest of the party will get just as protective of the bird. I can almost guarantee it. I know these people.
Well, I think you bring up a great point, though, that a lot of times people will jump into a new game and they'll automatically be friends with the group. And friendly and all that, but you're playing the character as you should. You care more about the bird than you do about the group, and yet I brought this topic up over and over again because I love to emphasize this fact. You're still playing it in a way where you can interact with the group well and play it off without being the loner, without going off and saying screw you guys completely or at all really. You're still doing a great job at it. So. Just wanted to put a kudos out there for that and mention it. I think it's a great way to balance it all. Let's see. So you guys got that great little interaction going, and right through there, the idea was get the bird to go drop off the note. I was kind of halfway thinking that Joe was going to be like, no, not going to do it. And then, or, you know, not drop off the note, and you guys show up and, they don't know what the hell you're talking about. Just think about that, you know, riding in and show up and they're like, you know, we're just going to kill you. In which case, plan C comes into play.
That would have been an interesting fight.
The C
would have made Will happy.
The C stands for call lightning.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I think I had made the joke off air. You know, what about plan D? And you're like, well, that's for D. And I was like, oh yeah, okay, that's great, you know, it would just work out great. Little saying, well, you know, I spell my alphabet CBA, so plan C first. One thing I did want to ask, whose idea was it to poison them all when you guys were scoping out the camp before? This was maybe two episodes ago, off air, but
pretty Mark, sure that was it Mark? I thought it was Lilith.
I have no idea.
They both have the same murder mentality, but I feel like it would probably be a Lilith move.
I think it was Lilith.
because Chase has a gun, so I don't think poison's his main thought.
No, Chase is much more direct about who he kills. Like, he's kind of laser focused that way, whereas like Lilith's answer to everything is kill them all.
Chase definitely emphatically mentioned how he was against the idea, but that made me think that it must have been his idea, because no other reason why he would have denied it. And that's just me knowing him. Feeling like I know him.
I think maybe Mark. That's a Mark trait. But I don't know necessarily if that's a trait. That's a Chase trait. We'll have to see how Mark that goes. Chase. Wow. Okay.
But if you guys say it was Lilith, we could probably believe it. Between that and the charging in for the fight, you know, I was definitely willing to award Lilith Murder Hobo of the Week this week.
Lilith always got Murder Hobo of the Week.
You know what? One day you guys just go walk and kill somebody, you know, just walk up to the general and be like, dead.
It's been a while since we have seen a situation where we see Jade go to kill mode. And I don't think we've had one since we've had this show. So it's going to be interesting when you actually get to see Jade go to kill mode.
Yeah, because I haven't seen that.
No, you haven't seen it either, and it's pretty scary. So I'm sure, being is that we are getting closer to the Warmakers. Because that's kind of like her trigger right now, and that's her main focus right now is getting to the Warmakers. You'll probably see it then when we get to like really confronting the bad guys, when it's not just a random monster or something like that. When she gets emotionally involved, is when you see stabby Jade come out.
And yet this time we had Jade the diplomat writing the flowery leather letter to the orc-like people, who are actually elves, and I don't know who else. I'm sorry.
Confused easily.
That letter was so awful, but it worked. God.
Hey, it worked, and that's what counts.
That is so true. That is so true. So... I just thought that opening, you guys were so on cue there, all of you. That
was very much the letter writing scene in A Knight's Tale, only very twisted for us. That was fun. That was a whole lot of fun. I love when we get to do stuff like that.
That is true. And Celeste, with you, with your stop wasting my paper line, how many more sheets of paper would have it taken for you to take serious action?
Ooh, I don't know, maybe like one or two.
That's it. Okay. So
Celeste also, it hasn't come up yet, but Celeste also does have a dagger.
One of these days. One of these days. So we know that you might be one of the murder hobo type people. Although, I mean, first time we saw you, we were opening up with, I always get this wrong, if it was Call Lightning. I don't even know if there is a spell Chain Lightning, or if it's some other
game. There is.
There is, okay.
There is. There's a spell Chain Lightning, but there's also a Chain Lightning thing in Magic.
Right, that's probably what day. I keep on going to is mm-hmm. Chain Lightning for Magic, because
yep.
Hits three different targets.
Because we're big nerds. It's
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I just got into Magic like 2 weeks ago.
Oh boy! Get a job, you're gonna need it!
We both go to the same place.
Oh my god, it's such an addiction, but it's such a fun game.
I
enjoyed it.
Yeah, it's coming from the girl who doesn't play games, and I played Magic.
Keep it casual. Don't put
yes,
a lot of money.
Keep it casual. It. Yes, that is so important. Oh my goodness. And don't take things too seriously because your friends basically their job is to kill you. So
yeah. I showed we were playing a game, my brother and I. And I was like perfectly set up to just end the game right there. I was like, I'll show you mercy. That turn he got everything he needed to wipe me out.
Oh yeah. Yeah, show no mercy, man.
It's like Cobra Kai.
Put him in a body bag.
Yeah, strike first, strike hard.
No mercy.
Yep.
That's it.
Oh, that's so funny.
So you guys get into the camp. You get led to the commander of the camp. Get to walk by some pretty animals. Celeste, you're still staring at the birds in the air because you don't see any of the pretty animals.
Not yet.
Not yet. Eventually you will. You get to have a fun little conversation with the man in the camp, which I thought was the commander of the camp, which I thought was just a great intonation power, you know, between Lilith and Chase, and everyone just was really down their neck. I think that doesn't happen enough where people are just taking the aggressive stance against NPCs anymore, I guess. It used to kind of be where, you know, it would be throw it all out the window and just hope that you don't die on things. And now, even though I'm the one who's always kind of telling you guys, you got to be more diplomatic with things and whatnot, sometimes it almost feels like we're tiptoeing around things too much. Maybe I'm always just playing devil's advocate. So I was just wondering what you guys were thinking about all that.
I think that the group as a whole is coming into their own confidence-wise. We're starting to realize that we are the Crown Companions for, like, everybody. and we're understanding our own importance to a certain degree. Maybe a little arrogance. But I think we're trying to find that balance. And that conversation really showed that, like, we stood our ground as far as like who we are and what we're doing. But we were more diplomatic than the Indiana Jones, fuck this and shoot them, you know?
I mean, Indy always got the job done though.
I'm gonna give him credit for that. He was sick that day, but I,
although, I think it was in Big Bang Theory, where they pointed out in what was it, Last Crusade, that he wouldn't even have to be in, or was it Last Crusade or not Last Crusade, the Captain one with Sam? No, the one before that, Raiders of the Lost Ark, where if he wasn't even in the movie, it would have ended up the same way. You know, they still would have opened up the Ark, everybody would have had their faces melted off, and you know that would have been it.
That's a good point.
Pretty much. Well, except for the fact that they may have not found the Ark.
Well, then it wouldn't have mattered anyways.
Right. If they had never found it, then it wouldn't have mattered. They found it because of Indy.
Well.
Because Indy realized that the height of the staff was different. Yeah, I'm that much of a dork. But
actually, if it wasn't for Indy, they would have probably gotten the medallion without it ever catching fire and all that, and they would have gotten the full translation.
Rue, and then just Marion would be dead, and you know, whatever.
So I guess he saved one person through all that.
That
chaos.
Was the whole, net worth whole story. One. He saved Marion.
Gotta analyze the movie as deeply as we can.
You know, if he had not saved Marion, then we wouldn't have Crystal Skull.
Oh God!
Okay, I digress.
So we should just cancel the whole entire series.
We ignore the first one. We ignore the fourth one. It's good.
We just solved Indiana Jones completely.
You only need two of them.
Skip the first one. Go straight to the second and third. We get
and you're done.
The second was kind of Shaky.
Temple of Doom. Come on.
Temple of Doom was fun. Temple of Doom, I think that the thing with Temple of Doom was that it was unabashedly stupid. Like, they didn't even try to hide the silly at that point. It was just, we're going to go over the top and fuck it, you know?
Yeah, but there's a whole entire ride that pretty much is based off of it at Universal? Or I think Universal.
Is it based on Temple of Doom?
Well, a large portion of it is. It's the Indiana Jones ride, but
the whole minecart thing.
Well, it's not really a ride. It's a show. But they have the whole like scene with him with the ball and
that's Raiders.
Raiders. That's Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the show is Raiders.
That's Raiders. You're right. Man, I'm mixing up my movies tonight.
Raiders was
Raiders tearing out the heart.
Yeah, Temple of Doom was the tearing out of the heart and the bugs and the crazy palace.
Started off with that
monkey
one.
Monkey brains.
Mm-hmm. Oh, but you're right. No, you're right. The
Raiders, then Temple, then Raiders, Last Crusade.
And that's where it ends.
Harrison Ford died after that, didn't he?
Yeah, you can't do that. I love Harrison too much.
Oh my God.
Indiana Jones can die, but Harrison Ford, you leave that man alone.
The way 2020 is going, I'm sorry.
Nope. Protect him at all costs.
I won't take that joke. I reject that one.
I mean, it's so sad. We just lost Alex Trebek, and before that, Sean Connery, which means SNL is forever changed. Just sad days.
But I mean, that's, you know, you get to that age where your childhood heroes, you know, start to become legends.
And one day legends drift off into oblivion.
That's the way the world works.
It's the way it goes.
Way to lighten the mood.
Right? Crash. So diplomats.
Back to the episode.
Diplomats. Trying to be diplomats. Our lame attempt at diplomats.
The diplomats with style, baby. Or maybe.
Once dressed as a bear. They got a fashion sense. Is all
that's just normal.
It's in really great for this group. You have the bear squad, the wolf squad, and the fox squad. Now, the bear squad rides bears, and the wolf squad rides dire wolves, but I don't think the fox squad rides foxes.
They ride horses. Remember when they went that night, they left the camp, and they left on horseback.
I thought that was the wolf squad that left that night. Maybe it was the fox squad. I really don't remember. But
I think it was fox.
That sounds right.
Let's see. I actually have it written down. Maybe not. I can't find it. Anyways, as part of all this, one thing I noted was that there was 15 wolves and 15 bears, right?
Sure.
If there's like 15 foxes, fox squad, so like 45 total. I wonder if there's like some play in numbers that Joe was doing there. 15, 15, 15, 45. That's where I ended and couldn't figure anything out past that.
I hadn't considered that. I have not known Joe to play with numbers before like that, but first time for everything, something to think about.
Keep it in mind. Mm-hmm. That's what I say. You know. Oh, I found the note. It was Wolf Squad.
Was it? Okay, I was wrong.
Two of the groups of Wolf Squad that left. He did mention that Fox Squad wasn't quite liked. Especially that group that you guys dealt with. Plus, a bunch of them are dead now. You know, two got eaten, one got killed by you.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Yeah.
You know, that's something
I
that
don't
I didn't
apologize.
you.
That's something that I didn't catch, I think. That maybe we should have looked into a little bit. Maybe as to why, you know, who led Fox Squad, who was maybe calling the shots, or who, you know, why they weren't liked so much.
Mm-hmm.
Blew right past that. Good job.
It happens.
It's so hard on the actual day of to catch all these small things and to go over them. And since I've started tearing apart your guys' episodes, and that's the term I'm going to use, because I feel like that's what I do.
It's your job. That is totally your job.
Go for it, dude.
It's my job, I guess. And mainly because I listen to them like I read mystery novels, where I'm just like, okay, I need to figure out what's going on.
Find the hooks.
Mm-hmm. I need to find the hooks. I need to know what's happening, and then I get to talk to you guys about it. So I'm like, not everybody gets to do that, right?
No, I think that's awesome, and then we get to go back and go, okay, now we get, can we fix this? Can we mess with this? Can we ask this question?
Mm-hmm. So two groups of Wolf Scott squad leave. They come back with some satchels. They leave them at the commander's tent. You guys don't break in, which, or maybe you do in the next morning. We ended on a cliffhanger there. And you can't go back and find out because, well, you've already recorded two or three episodes since then.
Damn it.
So that's good. Very interesting. What was in those satchels? What happened with them? What's going to happen next?
Yeah, there? Like we all just kind of, like, we took note of them leaving because we know that there's trouble afoot.
And you took note of them coming back.
And we did. And then we just kind of went, must be meat or something, and kind of
they must left. Have been out raiding.
Yeah, you know, something. We kind of swept that one. I think because, like, well, I know for Jade, I was a little hyper-focused at that point.
On the bears.
On the bears.
On the bears.
On the bears that you got.
Love the bears.
Oh, my God.
And the wolves. Oh,
and the wolves.
Sweethearts.
Bears and wolves and lions, oh my.
Oh my. Yeah. Yeah, so, yeah, I can definitely say for Jade, she was super hyper-focused on that there were animals that she needed to pet.
I need to pet the bears. Or I need to pet the wolves. No, you can't pet these. These are dire wolves. I need to pet the wolves.
I'll do it anyways. You can fucking fuck off. I'll do it.
Right? I'm gonna pet it.
It's like, you know.
I'm not afraid to call lightning someone who tells me no.
Funny would be to have Jade creeping up to a bear or a wolf going, I'm gonna pet it, you know, this tiny little halfling, and the handler's just being like, what's the halfling doing? No, you can't pet that. No. And just how
I roll like a roll like a nat 20 animal handling and just like walk up to the thing.
What would be even
my
worse
animal handling is plus 6, so I get it.
What would be even worse is the way you roll your stealth checks if you stealthed your way up to one of these things.
Did that? I would stealth past the handler, but I don't know that I would stealth up to a dire wolf. Because startling a dire wolf is probably a bad idea.
I have animal friendship. We're good.
Okay, we're fine.
I also speak with animal, which is, we're also good. Trust me, I've tried to use them already. Didn't work out.
Think about like stealthing on top of a direwolf.
You get on its back.
Be like fucking Miss Piddlix and just like show up on top of it. Just hi.
I'm here now. I'm your problem now.
We're gonna be best friends.
I will name you Buttons.
Well, and I was thinking like. Jade could be a member of Fox Squad because she's small enough to ride a fox.
Do it.
Is she small enough? She's not that small. She's not pixie small.
Hold on.
Who's a big enough fox?
Hold on. Here we go.
Be like Let's a dire fox.
Dire fox. There we go.
Let's go. Here we go. I don't have a fox in my monster man. Oh, you know what? Challenge rating.
We could like turn into one.
Oh.
Dee turns into a giant fox and Jade rides her.
Yes.
Or Celeste.
No, me. I turn into the fox, not the cat. Me.
Not the you.
Come on.
Just drop Dee right in.
Do it. Let's look up the stats for a fox real quick. Apparently, it's not a forest animal within a 1.5 challenge rating because it's not on my already filtered out list.
Grumble.
Aww.
Grumble, grumble. Grumble. So the page grumble. Is loading slowly. We'll get back to it.
Okay.
Okay. Another interesting thing I noticed, just keep on noticing weird conspiracy things, but the letter opener that Chase got had a wolf and a bear on it, but no fox.
Interesting.
I'm trying to remember where he got the damn letter.
In the commander's tent, I believe.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
You distracted the commander.
Right, and he grabbed the letter opener.
Yeah, he stole the letter opener.
Huh. That was brilliant, by the way.
It was
a good attempt.
Yeah, dope. Chase made some seriously brilliant moves in this episode. Like, he came out with stuff that I was like, I didn't even think of that.
he's definitely pushing the fold over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that makes, you know, I think that's what D&D should be about. Just go for it. Whatever you can think of, go for. And the worst thing that could happen is, maybe not the worst thing. The most likely thing that's going to happen is Joe's going to tell you no. The worst thing that could happen is you're going to die a horrible death.
Oh, yes, yeah.
You don't have to worry about it.
You end up in a fight. You know, that's not something that we are unfamiliar with.
Right. And you know. I mean, you know, from the fight with the Remoraz, you guys can take a fight.
Yeah, I think we can handle it. But yeah, that's interesting that there was no fox on it,
mm-hmm.
Aesthetically or whatever. But, huh. Yeah, you bring up a good point. I might have to ask to look at that dagger again.
Yeah, exactly. Eventually, you know. And then, of course, Lilith wanted to play boobs with people, and Celeste doesn't know what boobs is.
I know what they are. I don't know what it is.
We're gonna have to go back and find some of the earlier episodes for you to listen to. But Boobs is basically a card game that we invented in the beginning of the show. That it's kind of, we haven't totally figured out all the rules, but it's basically a cross of some kind of like Jim Rummy poker thing with like an old maid matching cards game kind of a thing.
There's rules?
Well, we're kind of making them up as we go along. But Mark was kind of figuring things out for a little while there on the game, and then I guess he lost interest. But
I'm sure somebody could actually write rules for that too.
We've talked about it. But yeah, it's this funky little card game that we invented, and you're matching boobs from all other, you know, different species of things. It's ridiculous and terrible. but yeah, we haven't played boobs in a while. It was cool for Lilith to bring that up again.
So, seeking artists who want to draw D&D boobs to make the game boobs. Not an actual solicitation. Just a joke.
Please do not contact me.
Please do not Twitter, tweet, Facebook, or anything me as if you could find me.
We kicked around the idea for a while of actually coming up with the game and doing it as merch. And then we kind of thought that in this current climate with us fighting so hard for the respect for women and you know, all of that, that is probably not good timing for something like that, you know, and that we should probably not do that.
Maybe the first version needs to be tasteful boobs?
Tasteful boobs? Maybe we
and then expansion pack.
Oh god.
I'm sorry. I should be more respectful.
You started this.
I only said it because you made me think of it.
I can't help myself, you know. you know me. I'm a decent person, I think.
You are a decent person. You're a very decent person. All of us are. And all of us are like huge social justice warriors. And all of us are so much about equality and trans rights and all of that stuff. Like, we all fight hard for that stuff. So it's, and we're all very public about it. So it's not like people don't know our actual stance. Our sense of humor just is a little fucked up.
And I mean, this is the time we use to completely released. You know,
be fucked up.
Safe zone.
We're calling it's sex positivity, baby.
What happened to sex positivity?
It's still there. It's still there, and there's still a big fight for it. We were actually just having this conversation the other day. I have a friend who was actually on our sister show, The Geekiest, who is a she's amazing. She's an alt model, and she lives and works in that world and is absolutely wonderful. And she came to my shop the other day. She's also an artist. She paints, does these beautiful paintings on skulls. And she came to my shop as a guest artist the other day and was going to do a live stream. And because of her content, they wouldn't let her live stream.
Hmm.
Even though it was her art and not her adult content. So yeah, we've had this conversation, and we are still very much fighting for sex positivity and equality in that space. So it's still out there. We're still fighting. We're still making a difference.
It's a struggle. I mean, there are so many struggles still going on, and when we're going to resolve them all, or if we'll ever resolve them all, is just a big question.
You know, I think that it's not something we're ever going to be done with. You know, I don't, it's like, this is something that we are, as a species, going to have to continue to check ourselves on. We're going to have to continue to fight. We're going to continue to find ways to make things better for everyone and everything continuously. I don't think the fight's ever going to be done. I think that we just have gotten to the point where we realize that we should be further along in this fight than we are, you know, and, you know, not to get up on my soapbox for too long. but yeah, I think that I don't think that we should ever look for an end game when it comes to making the world a better place. And we have so much work to be done that instead of looking towards perfection, because Starfleet is a long ways away, and even Starfleet wasn't perfect.
Starfleet was far from perfect at the beginning.
Right. you know, and even much further on, there's always going to be struggles, and there's always going to be lessons to learn, and there's always going to be ways to make things better. So instead of looking at it as a race to the finish line, we need to look at it as a way of life.
I agree. And I think I have a much harder time because of where I come from and my perspective coming in. And I always feel like an outsider looking in on the struggle. But I definitely agree with everything you just said. So,
and now I will step down off my soapbox and we'll talk about petting bears.
Oh yeah, that's why we're here, right?
Yeah, that's why we're here.
Well, you know, we can talk about whatever we want here.
It's your show, man.
No, this is never going to be my show.
Skipping back into the conversation, the only information I could find about foxes are not, I don't think, official, but there is a fox and there's a giant fox. One is a small animal and one is a medium animal.
Medium. So either way, yeah, still not big enough for Jade to ride.
How tall are you?
About like, 3 foot.
You could ride a medium animal, couldn't you?
Yeah, you could do it. It's fine.
Hang on, let me pull my character sheet up real quick, because I honestly don't remember, and I never don't have my character sheet on my freaking computer. Because this is the life I lead.
For me, it's as simple as wild shape into deer.
Mm-hmm. Or horse. Wild shape into deer or horse.
Who needs a steed? I am the steed.
She's not even 3 foot. She's 2'7".
Perfect. Yeah. It works out.
You could ride a giant fox. You could be part of Fox Squad.
Whee!
Which just doesn't sound right ever. Every time I say it.
Fox Squad?
Fox Squad.
Fox Squad.
Right? Like.
Why is that so funny?
Is it military term?
Is it?
Something. I can't remember.
Metal Gear Solid.
Is it?
I don't know, but yeah, it does sound funny. Like, you just, like, there's gonna be a point where Jade's gonna get drunk enough to just be like, Fox Squad. Fox Squad. Fox, 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 Fox Squad. Fox Squad. Like, it's just...
Oh. You know, it's first Fox Squad, and then it's, what does the fox say?
I'm sorry.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
To all the people who do the Metal Gear Solid and heard me say that, I did correct myself. It is Foxhound. Do not tell me to go fuck myself.
Okay.
I'm still not leaving my Twitter at here. It's not happening.
So many reasons to stay anonymous on these things.
Right. Having an opinion on the internet seems like a perfectly safe thing to do.
Yeah, sure. Why not? Now, do you guys think that getting to interact with the bears and wolves made you more acclimatable to the elves, or
not at all? I still hate people.
I think that if only just a little, I think that it did kind of endear us to them, or them to us, however that works. I think at least the bear handlers seeing that we're not just this kind of elite squad of badasses, like we're people, we're I don't want to say human, but we have a soft side, we, you know, do stupid things like want to pet bears, we're
three-dimensional okay. Character.
Right, exactly, we have depth.
Yeah, I mean, but my thought was they just think you're ducking butts.
That's probably true too.
Yeah, nobody walks into an elf camp, outnumbered 20-1, talks down the commander, and then goes and pets the foxes and bears, or wolves
except
and bears.
Except us.
I would do that. Yeah.
Yeah. Except for you two.
Celeste would absolutely tell them to go fuck themselves and then go pet the bears. Like, the only thing stopping me from doing that is my inability to interrupt people while they're talking, or else I would have. I had thought about it.
Yeah, you just gotta talk over them. You'll get there.
It's not in me.
It's hard. It's actually, it's tough, and it's something that we have actually had to, as a group, get used to.
Mm-hmm.
In the beginning, we had a real bad habit of talking over each other and interrupting each other and, you know, all of those things. And we had to, especially when we started recording, we had to learn to let each other talk. But it also, there does come a point as you're coming into this group, there does come a point where you have to be like, I have something to say.
I don't have like that in me. I can't just be like, everybody shut up, I got something I want to say.
You know what I've done in the past, because I've tend to be a little timid when it comes to that too, is I will actually type in the chat, Jade raises her hand.
All right.
And yeah. Joe will see that and be like, you know, Kayla, you had something to say or whatever. Like, that helps me, because a lot of times there's so much brilliance going on, or like there's cool stuff going on, and I don't want to interrupt it.
That's a big thing with me too, because like whenever I'm trying to add something, or whenever I want to add something to it, to me it's more like, all right, this doesn't affect the overall plot, it's more of a character thing, you know what I mean?
But character, like, stuff is important.
Yeah, yeah. I know, but like,
it gives me a lot more material to work off of later on.
So I will give you no character things, and I don't have to do that. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah.
Oh,
Jade. I'm sorry. Celeste doesn't speak for the rest of the campaign. It's fine. You no, got to figure out what I'm thinking through body language only.
You must speak. You will see me from time to time talk about, you know, Jade is doing something silly that has nothing to do with the plot or what we're doing in the moment or what we're trying to figure out or whatever the hell it is. Jade gets bored and decides to swing on a tree branch or whatever it is that she's doing, because that's part of her character, and it's important to me for her character to show through in all of those things, you know. And I mean, that comes from having a theater and improv background and all that stuff too, but it's something that, and it helps our audience see the picture, you know, because we're not video, and even if we were, you're gonna get video of us with headphones on talking to each other and not, you know, not all that wonderful. But it helps the audience, kind of in the theater of the mind way, see the whole character, see a substantial three-dimensional character through those things. So by all means, please let us know that you are sitting there looking at us like we're idiots scratching Luna's head, or, you know, whatever it is. You know, we want to hear those things.
just don't pull an end of waiting scene, you know, where you go around going, no, fuck you and fuck you and fuck you and you are the worst. None of that. I don't know if you remember that movie, but sorry.
That's okay. No, it's yeah, you have to do the character stuff, but don't do the character stuff to the point where you walk away and never come back.
Yeah.
So, okay. I don't know where I was going with all that.
Good. You'd love to see it. Let me grab another wrench out of this box real quick.
Derailed again.
Hell yeah, baby.
Speaking of derailments, were there any major derailments that you guys did to Joe recently? I'm trying to think through the episode.
Isn't that like every episode?
Well, I mean, I made him find a way to put a tiefling near a orc settlement. So, I mean, I think that's pretty derailing.
Oh, he can handle that no problem. Are you kidding me? You did finally, well, this wasn't a derailment, but you did finally reveal that you are a tiefling.
Yes.
To just Jade, which is everybody has to step around that little point constantly, which is fun to listen to.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, that's fun. I was Jade was honored.
The little bear. Celeste,
yeah, that Celeste felt comfortable enough to reveal that. She's a little confused because Jade doesn't understand racism. Like she's a little oblivious when it comes to that stuff. She's still kind of got her farm girl background of just kind of live and let live, and the big bad world is still a mystery to her in certain ways. So it's hard for her to understand why you would hide that. She respects it enough that she's not going to be like, you know, walking into our camp going, Celeste, tiefling!
Dragging her by the horns.
Right.
There are no blue people or yellow people or brown people. There's just people.
You say that as if there weren't three blue people as main characters in right? the last recording.
Yeah, Jade just loves everybody, and she doesn't get why people don't like each other or why people could be mean. And that's like, and in past episodes, that's what has rocked her faith more than anything else, is when she's just confronted by senseless evil. You know, mm-hmm. She doesn't get it. She doesn't, it so sweeps her off her feet, you know, when that happens, you know, because she doesn't understand it so much, but she's starting to, and she's starting to coin the pun, Jade is starting to get jaded a little bit.
Jaded Jade.
But she's trying so desperately to hang on to her happiness, you know, and she just thinks that Celeste is cool, you know. I think it's cool that you're taking that moment, that you're kind of allowing yourself to have that moment of not completely revealing everything right away. I think it makes for great storytelling.
You two are definitely becoming fast best friends. So that's really
I'm
great.
I'm a druid. She's a bear. What do you expect?
That's a good point. One thing, another interesting thing that came up during that conversation you had is you kind of asked about Chase a bit. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you remember this, and I don't know if I want to get too deep into this. I've been debating whether I asked you about it because I don't want to reveal any too much stuff.
Well, you can ask. We can edit it out. I think. I don't know, Joe. You can edit it out.
You might not.
The premise of this is that if you're listening to this episode, you should have listened to the actual episode. So we're not really spoiling anything.
Well, not much was said other than.
But you're asking why, aren't you? That's not a spoiler. Hasn't been revealed.
It hasn't been revealed. So it would be a spoiler if you said why.
It hasn't been revealed anywhere, so it's not a spoiler for a specific episode. Go ahead, ask your question.
Okay, so what was the motivation there? What was going on?
Well, I realized I didn't set up any of that so far. So it is a spoiler.
You can see me there.
It's part of tragic character backstory that hasn't been revealed yet.
Okay.
It's investigating.
So there is something there.
There is something there. It was intentional.
Okay.
And hopefully I'll talk to Joe about like maybe a day where like we can actually start getting it in there. Cause I know it's like on me to do it, but like it would be easier with some setups.
Yeah, the more you let Joe know your backstory, the more he will attempt to incorporate that and give you opportunities to explore it. He's really good about that. So let him know for sure. Yeah.
Oh, it's all on my character sheet.
Okay, cool.
Oh, good. Oh, he'll definitely work it in then.
Mm-hmm.
Especially after this conversation. I mean, come on.
Hi, Joe. Hey, Joe, can you reread my character sheet and like set some of that up for me, please? Thanks.
There you go.
Take a few weeks. Come on.
I don't mind the wait. I really don't mind. Y'all have been playing this for like a year and you're pretty far into it, but you're not super far into it. You know what I mean? Like, I asked Joe once to like, all right, I know this is not the same format, but could you like three act structure me? Where are they? And they're like, and he's like, about act two, like the beginning of act two. And I'm like, a year and a half?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I don't mind the wait. I get it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's just funny that that you already, you've got that cross-character interaction. I always have a hard time building off that cross-character interaction of other people's stories and whatnot. So that's good.
I'm using it as a way to like get to know the group because I, as the player, still do not know the group. I know Kayla and Joe.
Yeah, that was the crazy thing coming in is like, I look at you and I go, these are all my good friends. You're a good friend. I love you all. And then, you know, bringing you into the group was, wait, you guys don't know each other. Shit.
I've never met a single other person at the group other than you and Joe.
But that's how D&D works. You get introduced and you get to know people over weeks and weeks and weeks of 2 to 3 hour sessions.
Yeah. Yeah. Until we all started playing together, we didn't really know each other either, except for me and Mark.
Yeah. And I met everybody because I nudged my way into the group.
Oh, fucking same, dude. it was me, like, every time I would see you at the shop, like, I want to play D&D with someone, man. Mm-hmm. And so you're like, I have a spot open at my table now. I'm like, yes, please.
Yeah, I had been trying to get you into one of our games for a bit because I wanted you to come and play with us. And I had actually at one point considered starting another game because I'm DMing a game as well. And I mentioned it to Joe at one point. So funny. He is forever my grounding, my rock, and I love him for it. Because sometimes I will forget that my feet are supposed to be on the ground. And I was like, hey, I could start another campaign. And he's like, are you insane?
With what time?
Right. Like, you have no time as it is. How the hell? You know, I spend probably more time than I should planning my fairy tale game, let alone trying to put on another game. And the fairy tale game is still like, they're kind of at the end of act one. So
I don't have enough time to play games, let alone run a game. Are you kidding me?
Oh my god.
It's too many hours working, right?
It's life. It's just life. We're all, you know, and we're all in a position now where most of us are working jobs, you know, or running our businesses, you know, plus side hustles and just trying to stay afloat and all of those things. And nobody has time, you know, and I'm grateful for the time that we do have to play D&D. It's my escape.
Yeah. And especially with all the extra stuff, you know, that you're trying to set up with the Geekiest and, you know, all the extra stuff that it takes to try to make the experience more interactive. There's just so many more things that go into putting on a game.
So. It's a lot. And I got to give kudos to Joe, man. He juggles a lot of plates when it comes to all of this. Besides just being the DM, he's our editor. He's our promoter. Yeah. He's constantly, you know, trying to throw more stuff out there and, you know, come up with more ways to promote the show. And, excuse me. All of that stuff. you know, Joe, on top of help.
Joe, if you ever need help, just please, just call. I will help.
He's starting to delegate a little bit. A little bit. He's starting to delegate.
I will take it.
You know, and he helps me at the shop and all of that, and just being general caretaker to me, you know, being someone with a chronic illness. I don't know how he does it some days. I really don't.
Oh, bless this man.
Mm-hmm. And that's why we love Joe. Well,
yes.
One of the many reasons
that, why we love Joe. Yeah, I was gonna say one of them, yeah.
As Mark stole from somewhere else, I love you nerds.
Yes.
When did Mark start doing that? How long ago was that?
Oh my god. Probably not long after The Source came out, which was a few years ago.
Okay.
The I Love You Awesome Nerds.
I love you awesome. Yeah.
I love that. I love that quote so much. And like he said it first. The very first time he said it, I was like, damn it. Now I can't say it. yeah, that was probably towards the beginning of this campaign that he started saying that.
It's so many interesting things that come up just as soon as you put a microphone in front of people and tell them that you're being recorded. like for instance, you know, during writing the message note, you know, just the crazy things that came out there, and Lilith wanting to charge right into the, you know, and you know that Greg was kidding, kind of.
If we had gone along with it,
oh, it would have happened in an instant. Are you kidding me?
Absolutely. That would have been three episodes in a row of combat guaranteed if Lilith had her way.
And one of these days, it's just going to happen. Everybody else is going to be like, "Huh? Well, yeah, you know, that might be the best way to go about it." The day you run into the Warmakers, that's going to be it. Lilith's going to be like, "Okay, I guess we just need to kill these fuckers," and everybody else is going to be like, "Yeah,
yep,
yeah, that's yep. it.
Let's do it."
Mm-hmm. In we go.
Once now next. Is the time.
but the table was like that before. Before we started recording, and we probably even lost a little bit of it first and then came back and whatnot. But just the funny things that happen when, you know, you're just joking around and getting there, you know, getting people together at the table.
Mm. Oh, again. Yeah. Again. Yeah, this group is notorious for derailing. I think that's what you're talking about. When was the last time we threw a monkey wrench into Joe's plans? Every time we derail the conversation for an hour.
Pretty much, yeah. you love to see it.
Yep. And he has learned to roll with it and just accept that this is the way it is. He lets us go. Although we have gotten better. There was a time where we just were impossible to get on the rails for anything, and we would just talk and talk and talk and derail and talk over him, and we were terrible for a while, and I think we've gotten much better at paying attention.
We have half an hour of diplomacy plan plus a 2-hour fight.
Oh yeah.
3 hours into the session, we can begin the fight.
Yeah, that's pretty much how it goes, yeah. No, we plan for that. We book the sessions longer.
sometimes that's the way it goes. I remember one time, I think I brought this up before, when I was running Murder House, and like it's a bunch of little tiny battles that you're supposed to do all throughout the house, and the group I was running it with like got into the first room and they're like, okay, let's steal everything, and they're just going through like trying to take everything out of the house, like the chandelier, the candlesticks, trying to
yeah
the front door.
I see nothing wrong with this.
These characters are why bags of holding were invented.
Yes.
Pretty much, except for the absolutely fact that like at the end of the scenario, everything bursts into dust anyways. So
no, I know work.
That's funny. Oh right. My god.
No, you couldn't let them have it after all that. You had to sit through that. They had to do it. You couldn't let them have that. You just wasted a bunch of people's time.
I was kind of mad because I'm like trying to get them to go through the house and like just do the mission. It's the introductory mission you're just supposed to go through the house and try to solve like why it's haunted. You're not supposed to try to loot the entire house for this worthless piece of junk that's in it. So, you know, it's the ultimate derailing. And it's supposed to be like an hour and a half session to get through the entire house. And an hour and a half in, they have even gotten through the first room.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's pretty typical.
That's what D&D's for.
Yeah, it's... You know, but I think that's actually a funny twist for them to have gone through all this BS of
oh my God,
stealing stuff, and then for it to just disintegrate at the end is absolutely hysterical.
So it was
pour out the bag of holding, and it's just dust.
That was the same time when one of the guys was like, "What are you going to throw at us now? Am I going to poke the bed, and it's going to be a mimic?" And we're like, "Yeah, it's a mimic." It wasn't a mimic.
Just because you said that, fuck you. Yeah, it is.
Yep, now it is.
Now it is. And as a DM, I shouldn't have been that pissed off at the group. And we were good friends, and it ended up all going well in the end. But it was just one of those days.
No, it's definitely like that's the plight of a DM sometimes. It's just you're trying to herd your friends that happen to be cats. direction.
And, on track.
Yeah, it just that's just kind of because that's what D&D is for, is to cut loose and be silly and fun and all of those things and drive your friends crazy.
You're pointing the laser pointer. They're looking at the chandelier and they're seeing all the reflections and going that way instead of where you're pointing it.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they'll steal the chandelier. It's fine.
Do you think when he planned to have bears and dire wolves that your first reaction would be, I need to pet them?
You know, I wonder about that.
I feel like he absolutely knew you were going to do that.
I feel like, yeah, because like he knows me. This man has known me a long time and he knows this character. There is no way that he was going to put bears and wolves and foxes and fluffy things in a game and have Jade not want to pet them. You know, I don't think that was a surprise at all. I think that it was still a facepalm. But
my favorite part of that whole situation was you actually crying out of game.
Oh my God.
While it was happening. You were bawling and it was so wholesome, so adorable. You were having such a good time.
It was really incredible. Yeah, that was when we were still in the same room, and it just hit me because like the reason, I mean, like the bear thing with Jade is fun and all that, and like she does it because it's a character thing and all that, but I am actually the bear is my totem. I'm very connected to bears. It's just and my brain when we go into game, like that's it. And I love immersing. English is hard.
English is fake. Language is dumb. And G should be a vowel. Thank you for coming to my TED Talk. Good night. Remove the letter C.
We were just having that argument the other night. Wait, was
it goes ga and ja. That's the definition of a vowel. Just officialize it. It's fine.
Was it me and you having that
maybe conversation? Maybe. Probably. I don't know.
I just had that conversation that we could just remove the letter C altogether with somebody.
It may have been me. This isn't the first time I've gone on this rant. Just get rid of CH as a sound and just make that what C does. Like, you don't need it. You got K and you got S. What do you need C for? Just to make shit up? To fucking do it better.
I don't think it was you. I think it was my buddy Brian, actually.
I think that's a lot so of people funny. Have that opinion of the English language.
Well, then it's a good opinion. Fuck the letter C. My new Twitter handle. Fuck the letter C.
I'm sorry, but somebody already has that one.
Probably.
Probably. Oh my goodness. So yeah, immersion sorry is important.
I'm sorry about that.
No, it's fine. It's fine. Yeah. So it really was. It was really emotional. For me. Because it's something that I've always really wanted to do, but at the same time have resigned myself to the fact that I will probably never do, because honestly these are wild animals and we should not be petting them. We should be leaving them the fuck alone. You know, I also understand that there are those that are in you know reserves and things like that that are a little bit more used to humans, and that, you know, I follow someone that works at a animal sanctuary, you know, that has this cub that he often, you know, videos kind of playing with and whatnot, and I cry every time because it's just, there's something so incredible about the bear that just touches my heart. So being able to roleplay that out was absolutely incredible. And Dee's right. I was just sitting there crying. It was ridiculous.
It was so sweet and so endearing. You can hear it in the recording, I'm pretty sure. Yes. That you're crying, and you're actually crying there. Mm-hmm. It's not like made up for the record. Fucking tears running down your face. It was so sweet, so wholesome. And one of these days, I'm gonna make you do it again by wild shaping into a bear, and you will ride the bear into battle. I don't know how. We'll figure it out.
It'll happen. Oh my god, I want to cry just thinking about it.
You're welcome.
It's gonna be the final battle with the War Makers. D and J riding into battle.
I will grab a man with the maw, with my snout. I will grab a man and I will shake him, and that will be it. There will be no fight.
Rawr.
I could see a new form of the flinging the halfling by, you know, running and stopping, and Jade going flying
off the back.
Off the back, and
you should have worn your seatbelt. X-Men 1.
I've gotten a little bit closer than I would like to have to bears twice while hiking in North Carolina.
Really?
Not that close that it felt dangerous, but still closer than I liked.
Okay.
You just, you know, happen to see him, you know, 40 feet off, and you just slowly turn around and walk away. Mm-hmm. They do seem much more dangerous than they do on pictures or TV, and but they are majestic animals, I gotta say. So
closest that I've come is like zoos.
The photographer in me would not back away at 40 feet.
Oh my god, right? Like, that would be so hard to like not just sit there and take pictures.
It's right there. I got a long enough lens. I'm good.
Oh my
goodness. There's a smell factor that really gives you the sense of warning. That
really?
Yeah.
Huh. I hadn't thought about that.
There's a real sense of fear there. I gotta say. So.
Yeah, I know. I think that being in the wild, knowing that we are squishy meat suit, and they have mouth of murder, you know, and the claws and all of those things. I could understand how that would be. It's not, oh, look at the cute little bear, like it's a deer. It's like, no, you're gonna back away slowly, even if you're, you know, absolutely overwhelmed and crying that you get to see a bear in the wild. Like, you're still, you know, and that's respect. That's as it should be. You know, we don't want to endear bears to humans so much that it's, oh, look at the little bear. No, that's how you die. You know?
So be smart.
Yes, please.
This is a public advisory.
200 millimeter lens. It's fine.
There you go. You take pictures as you're backing away.
It's already small. It works out.
I remember as a kid, my grandfather was a photographer. And they would come down, my grandparents would come down for the summer or whatever, and we'd go to the zoo. And like, Metro Zoo is awesome, you know, because it's, you're not dealing with bars and stuff like that. And my grandfather would hand me a camera, you know, a little, you know, point and shoot, whatever, and see what he would say, here, you know, take pictures. And not one of those pictures was of a human.
As it shouldn't be.
You're at a zoo. I hope it's not.
Right? Like, I think it was my dad, you know, was like, well, why don't you, you know, take pictures of your cousin in front of this and that? And I was like, no, I see her all the time. Animal.
Anyway, you gotta get your face in there to get a selfie, you know, next to, as close to the bear as possible.
Yeah, you know, that never occurred to me. It never occurred to me to do that as a kid. Like, I mean, like, okay, I'm old. So, like, me as a kid was before selfies. Like, right, it hadn't become a thing so much. So it was just like, and I was always so angry that I couldn't get, because it was a little point and shoot camera, I couldn't get like a really close shot of anything, you know? And I remember I would like try to lean over the railing as far as I possibly could. Especially the bears, the elephants, the hippopotamuses, and rhinoceroses. Those were like, had to get close pictures of those. And I would lean as far over as I could to get them.
And to everyone out there, please do not put your head in a cage to get a selfie of a dangerous animal.
No, 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 don't do that. Don't do that. That's bad. There's the people have gotten hurt that way. Even in zoos, we need to respect animal spaces, and they are still wild creatures. Even in like those drive-through encounter situations, which I still question a little bit. respect wildlife space, and don't be like Jaden. Go pet them.
Well, those were trained. They're not zoo animals. They're like they're working animals. It's fine. It's like it's like going to pet a horse that's like a riding horse, like a tamed horse. It's fine.
The handler was right there, and we were respectful.
Just you know,
the animals.
Find a bear petting zoo in real life.
Oh my god. Hell yeah. Again, I have such mixed feelings. Like, there's, like, wolf encounters. Like, there's wolf sanctuaries, you know, where you can go. And down here in Florida, an hour drive away, where, you know, you can go and sit in an enclosure with, quote-unquote, domesticated wolves. Wolves are never totally domesticated. But there are, you know, rescues and are used to being around people, and the handlers are right there, and it's an incredible encounter. And I would love to go someday, and I would probably cry just as much, if not more, as I did encountering bears in D&D. But it's also one of those things where you look at it and go, I wish this didn't have to be this way. You know, I wish they could just be wild and free and not have to be, you know, not have to have come to this. But I'm happy that the sanctuaries are there, you know. So if there is a bear sanctuary, it's on my bucket list. I don't know that there is one, but we're going to find out.
I'm sure there's something close to it somewhere, but we'll have to good luck, right?
If we ever do get to that point when the world is no longer on fire.
That is true.
That'll be a while, but yeah.
We say that a lot, but there's hope now. When the world is no longer on fire, and we're going to travel. We're going to go to cons. We're going to, you know, we're going to do stuff with the show and all of that stuff. So all of the cast members have to remember to tell Kayla to do research before we go to shows in the cities that we're going to be in, because there might be bears.
Bears,
even better. Bears and
wolves. We got to get you to pet a bear and a wolf.
Yep. Yeah, well, wolves I have. I actually had a wolf hybrid growing up.
There we go.
Yeah, he was incredible. I don't know if I've talked about him on the show before. Elwood was his name. He was, his mother was Border Collie Siberian Husky mix. And she got loose while she was in heat and found a Michigan timber wolf. Because my family's from Michigan. Came back pregnant and had these beautiful, beautiful wolf hybrid puppies. And we had one. He was ginormous and insanely intelligent, and was like a brother. Like he was incredible. I loved him so much. And he was like, he had the coloration of a border collie, but his face was all wolf. And he was incredible. He was just such a cool creature. So I've kind of done the wolf thing, you know, with him.
You have these counts.
Yeah.
It definitely fits into your predilection for big dogs and...
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Animals and...
I get teased all the time because I call our 60-pound dog a medium dog because I'm used to giant breeds.
Yes.
You know, Great Danes, Irish Wolfhounds, wolf hybrids, Newfoundlands.
I saw a Great Dane in person for the first time, like, 2 weeks ago, and I was like, looking at the paws, that's not a dog, that's a beast.
They're huge, right?
Extra large animal. Oh my god.
That's why they call them house horses.
Yeah, those aren't dog-sized paws. They're not. They're horse hooves.
It's funny because the first dog my family had was a poodle, but it was a Royal Standard poodle. And you don't usually think of poodles as being big dogs, but the Royal Standard poodle is actually a pretty big dog.
Yes, they are.
And I just never realized like how small normal poodles are, because I grew up with this big Royal Standard poodle that would like knock people over as she walked by them.
That's awesome.
Yeah, she was, and because she didn't care. She would just like walk right by you and she'd like basically jut out her hip and bam.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
She would hip check you.
Yeah.
When we first got her, she was so wild that like we couldn't control it.
Oh my
she
goodness. Would
just run around jumping from like couch to couch all around. And we had never owned dogs before. So
oh.
Yeah, we got her from the pound, from the rescue shelter. We had put in like word that we were looking for a purebred poodle if they ever found one. Because my mom's allergic to dogs.
And poodles are not so much the allergy types.
They don't have any allergies because their hair is like human hair. So they don't give off any of that material that causes allergies. And when they called us, they're like, well, we're not positive this is a poodle because she was so mangy and because she was so big. Yeah. But we went and got her and took her to the vet and, you know, got her washed up. And we had her for so many years. We used to go hiking with her in the mountains. And
oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, we'd cut.
What was her name?
Emma.
Emma.
We wouldn't give her the typical poodle haircut either. We'd shave her for the most part, except for her little top of her head. So, top. Yeah.
Emma, that's awesome. Thank you for sharing that. I love that. I love the good rescue stories.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
She was amazing. She was my dog. all the other dogs my family's had were other people's dogs. Emma was my dog.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Oh, I get that. We have two, and one of them is mine, and one of them is Joe's. Like, it's very obvious when you meet them, you know, Daisy is mine, and Maya is Joe's. And we both love the other, but, you know, dogs attach.
I love your dogs.
Our dogs
absolute
are
absolute sweethearts, apart from the fact that your dog keeps barking at me whenever I come over.
Yeah, well, she's not used to you yet, and you're tall, so, you know, yeah. She's a little weird with taller people. The only tall people she's around really are my boys. But anyway,
you too. That's just how.
Yeah, new people. But... yeah, new people. So, what are the odds of Jade stealing a bear?
Oh, that's an interesting question. I didn't think about that.
High, they're very high. If you can re-encounter them, you'll definitely. I know you'll try.
Well, how would she steal the bear?
Carefully.
That's the thing is the plan and is not necessarily Jade's strong point.
How would
it
Jade
all be improvised?
Chase
like the guy
figure it out.
I don't know. I mean, like, because I can see her kind of just being like, "Hi, can I have a bear?"
You could always ask Celeste for help.
It's true.
I'm pretty
animal
sure
friendship speak with bear. Animal.
So instead of taking a level in barbarian, I need to take, like, at least one level in Druid so I can get a good, like, animal handling.
Yeah. Here, let me pull up my character sheet. For reasons. Let me just...
let's game this reference. Out. How do
let's
we get
game, her? Yeah. Let's math this out real quick. What level is animal friendship? Let's look at that real quick.
Is that first or second level? I know it's first. Is it first? I think it's first level. Because I've got a druid in my game, too, and I think she had that.
Yeah, animal friend is first level.
Yeah, so I could just take one level. And the requirements aren't that high.
Yeah. And if I'm looking at this right, each level you can affect more things. So level it's one target. Level two, it's two.
Maybe Jade will enter under the tutelage of Celeste.
But the problem with animal friendship also is that it only lasts 24 hours.
Eh.
True.
Joe is in here listening.
I was like, what the fuck are you planning?
For context, if you're listening, we're doing this through Discord, and Joe just sent a message unprompted by us, because he's you clearly heard he's not here. yeah, I'm sorry. Yes, it is spell slot level. That's what I meant to say.
So the problem is, you know, you have to be able to keep control of this bear for a very long time. I think that would be
a
handling check over a, you know, many animal handling checks is more so what it would be.
I would have to maybe find a young one, and maybe it's a rescue situation, and then I have to lots of feeding it and lots of love and a few really good checks and Celeste helping.
There you go, because again, plus 6 on animal handling, and also has lived in the forest for many years, may have already done this maybe once or twice. Not sure yet. I will talk to Joe about that. But I'm pretty sure it's happened. It is definitely something she would have done.
While, you know. Might have to spend more time in the forest than in the city or anything.
Oh no. What a shame. The druid being forced out of a city and into a forest? Heart shattering.
Oh my goodness. This is like... Jade's just gonna go Beastmaster. Fuck it.
Do it. But you could do it. Have you considered doing that?
I could totally do that.
You should do it.
I would just love to see this tiny little halfling riding in on this big bear.
Fuck yeah. It's like a couch. I can just lay down.
Right?
Whenever it's time to stop for the night, you know, you just curl up in the bear and that's your bedroll.
There you go. Oh. There you go. Just cuddle with the bear. It's all good. Fine.
Oh, yeah, that's it. And, you wouldn't even need the bear skin, you know, the bear coat anymore so much. You just, you know, use the warmth of the bear to sleep in.
Well, you know, I mean, when I'm not sleeping, I still need the bear suit. That would be a sight. The little bear riding the big bear.
Yes. See?
You need to get that as like a special moniker, you know, little bear.
Little bear.
Discord role, little bear.
Totally. That's going to be my handle. That's going to be like when we have like the fan chat. That's going to be my handle. It's just little bear.
Little bear. That's good. I want to thank you both for this amazingly fun conversation tonight where... We definitely got to talk about bears a lot.
Oh, hell yes. Hey, Joe, I know you're still here. I know you're probably still listening. Just give me more animal stuff to do.
That's my second request. Yeah.
You'll find out what the first one was later, but that's my second request. Hey, future Joe, who's editing this?
There you go. Hey, editing Joe.
Hi, future Joe. I love you. How are you doing? Have you drank water today? Have you eaten today? Meds?
Stretch. Don't get sleep too.
Oh, stretch.
Important.
I see you not stretching. Stretch right now. Get up. Stretch. There you go. And just know
breathe
your love.
Breathe in. Breathe out.
Yeah.
Breathe in. Breathe
out. Unclench your jaw. Relax your shoulders.
There you
Take
go.
Take care of yourself.
There you go. Because we love you.
Again, thank you guys. And to everyone out there, keep those conspiracies coming.
Woo!
Hell yes.
Yay!
Hey, thanks for listening to Out of Character. If you liked what you heard, please leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts or whatever podcatcher you listen to. And if you'd like to be part of the show and ask a question, you can do so on Twitter using the hashtag NSFWOOC. Thanks for listening. We'll be back later.